The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
The Jericho Network on Westwood One.
Thanks for choosing to download Talk is Jericho today. And all I can say is get ready to rock because it's all you can eat with Steel Panther coming up. I'm ready. I already did my DDP yoga today, so I'm loose. I'm limber. I'm ready for whatever Steel Panther is bringing to the studio. Sticks it in ya. Michael Starr talking with me today, and you know I'm not kidding when I tell you that DDP yoga is the reason why I'm able to keep getting back into the ring at the WWE. I've been using DDP yoga for years. Even if DDP wasn't sponsoring this podcast, I would still be telling you how amazingly fruit DDP yoga is. I'm also not blowing smoke when I say this is a great workout program for anyone, any age, any fitness level, any skill level. And once you start DDP yoga, you're going to be swearing by it too and wondering why you didn't start it sooner. So, to get you going, DDP is offering a sweet deal on the Max Pack. 15 workouts. You get a nutrition guide, recipes, and a poster to help you remember the 12 core positions of DDP yoga. And you can even download the MP3s so you can work out wherever and whenever you want. So go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho to take advantage of a special offer only available to you guys. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho. But this offer is not going to last forever. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho to take advantage of it today. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He's a world champion wrestler,
best-selling author,
actor,
and lead singer of Fozzy.
Now
he's rocking the podcast world.
Yay!
This is Talk is Jericho.
Talk is Jericho.
Starring Chris Jericho.
Welcome to Talk is Jericho, the pot of thunder and rock and roll. The remedy for boredom has arrived, the People's Podcast. Let's go for a ride. You got nothing to lose. You got nothing to lose. Oh, yeah, you got nothing to lose. Oh, you got nothing to lose. You got nothing to lose. Oh, yeah. You got nothing to lose. Oh, yeah. You got. You got nothing to lose. Ah. Woo, a double shot of the kiss today. Wow, welcome to Talk is Jericho. How in the hell are you, Jericho-holics? Thank you so much for being with me here today. Steel Panther, Michael Starr, Sticks Zedinia. Lots of great, ridiculous stories. Two of my favorite guys I've ever toured with. Great band, great personalities, and super, super sweet, humble guys. I'm really looking forward to having them on the show today. But before we get going, I want to say thank you for downloading Talk is Jericho. And I ask to subscribe. Hit the subscribe button on iTunes. That way, you'll never miss an episode. It'll get sent directly to your device. Do it right now. If you're digging the show, please tell all your friends to hit the subscribe button too. And we do look at the comments on iTunes, so feel free to leave a comment. Tell me how much you like it, and I'll share your comments right here on the podcast. Yeah, and while I'm saying thanks, I also want to say thanks to you again, and thanks to my sponsors for supporting the show. Without you guys, I wouldn't have a show. Without my sponsors, I wouldn't be able to do it for you for free for twice a week. So thank you. And hey, you want to help us out. Easiest way to do that is to do all your online shopping through my Amazon link. Really easy, and it won't cost you anything extra. No hidden fees. You don't have to buy anything special. Just go to podcastone.com, click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page, then hit the Talk is Jericho button. You'll find all my sponsors there, all my Amazon links, Amazon Canada, Amazon UK, and everybody's going Amazon, Amazon USA. Every time you do your shopping, Amazon will kick back a little cash to the show. That helps us cover our production, our bandwidth costs, water. Got to drink some water. That costs money. Got a pen here to take notes. Of course, cowbell fees. Cowbell upkeep is expensive, man. Got to keep this thing polished. You know how it goes. So that helps me cover the costs. If you go to podcastone.com, click on the Keep Our Podcast Free at the top of the page, then click on Talk is Jericho. Thank you very much once again. I appreciate you choosing to hang out with me every week. Getting really excited. Only 1 week away from the new Fozzy record release, July 22nd. Do You Want to Start a War? Coming out finally after all this time. So excited to unleash it on you guys and to play some new songs for you on July 24th at the Whiskey A Go Go, the famous whiskey in Hollywood on the Sunset Strip. War at the Whiskey. Come join us. It's going to be the very first show on the Do You Want to Start a War tour. Plus, we're doing an in-store signing on Tuesday, July 22nd in Torrance, California at the FYE on Hawthorne Boulevard. We'll be there at 3 p.m. So next week is a very L.A. state of mind. July 22nd, the release of Do You Want to Start a War? 3 p.m. in Torrance, California at the FYE on Hawthorne Boulevard. And, of course, July 24th, War at the Whiskey A Go Go. Come down, check it out. Also, if you want to pre-order the new Fozzy record, do so. Go to my Amazon link that I just described to you earlier. Post a picture of the pre-order on the Twitter. And we will follow you. How does that sound? Does that sound like a good deal? So another good deal is I'm going to play another new song for you. This is the title track from Do You Want to Start a War? Do You Want to Start a War? Do it right now. Crank it up right here on Talk is Jericho. Take a man. think? Woo! It's a good one, right? What a cracking song, as my friends in England say. It's cracking. It's cracking. Yeah, check out the record. July 22nd. Super stoked. Going to talk more about it on Friday's show. Right now, I want to talk to you about Madison Square Garden. Had a show there on Saturday night. And, man, it's always amazing to be in the Garden. It's like, you know, the world's most famous arena. It's not just a cliche. It's the truth. And I've had so many great memories there. I worked with Randy Orton there this Saturday. Had a great match. Very, very cool. I beat him with the Codebreaker, eh? I won! Vince McMahon watching the whole thing from behind the curtain, kind of backstage. And it's cool to know that Vince is there because obviously he watches every show, but he's got so much production stuff going on. He has to worry about entrances and you know, backstage pre-tapes and all this other stuff. And at the Garden, he was just there watching, you know, watching the matches. And it was pretty intimidating to know that the boss is right there watching the whole time. But we had a great match, and it was a lot of fun. And started making me remember all the memories I have of Madison Square Garden, starting off when I was about 3 or 4 years old. I remember being in the Garden because my dad used to play for the New York Rangers. I remember being in the Garden, holding my little jacket over my ears because it was too loud. I hated how loud it was in there. And I used to get mad at my dad because he wouldn't look at me as he was skating down the ice. He'd be like on a breakaway or something. And he'd be like, come on, dad, look up at me and wave. I mean, that's the least you can do. But so I was kind of, you know, my lineage was, you know, I was born in the Garden almost, grew up there in a lot of ways. And I was so cool to return there in 2000, I think was the first Madison Square Garden show that I ever had. Which was a three-way for the Intercontinental Championship versus China and Bob Holly. And I remember walking down the Garden, and if you have Tweet Secret, which is my exclusive VIP club, go onto the app store and look up Tweet Secret. You'll see a whole backstage tour of Madison Square Garden. And on the walls are these famous pictures of, like, you know, John Lennon at the Garden and the Stones and, you know, Springsteen and Bob Dylan and famous fights that they've had. And there's a cool picture of Triple H up on the wall. And then, you know, the Rangers scoring the winning goal in 94. There used to be a picture of my dad up there assisting on a goal back from like 72, I think it was, but they took it down. And I remember just walking backstage and just seeing all these people, all these great, you know, famous moments on the wall. And just thinking it was so cool that I was actually there, finally there, to be in Madison Square Garden and working at the Royal Rumble. And my dad was with me, too. I brought him there. And the match was funny. I remember I was working with China and Bob Holly. Bob Holly was on the floor, and China and I forgot what the next spot was, and we're both completely blank. Neither one of us can remember. And Bob Holly was on the floor shouting out, give her a body slam, man! Suplex! Or whatever it was he was supposed to do. But we had a pretty good match in the Garden then. And then throughout the years, returned to the Garden many times. Highlights for me, I remember playing the Christopher Reeve Super Skate games in the Garden, where they would have, you know, Hollywood stars and celebrities against the actual New York Rangers. And I played that 4 years in a row. Had some great moments. Scored a goal on Kirk McLean for real. Took this horrible looping slap shot that went over his shoulder. And it was like, yay! I scored for real in the Garden, man! And Glenn Anderson said, you know, Chris, just go and stand in front of the net and keep your stick on the ice. And I did that, and I scored like every time. He would just bank the puck off of my skate, off of my skate a couple times. Got in a fight every time, like an entertainment fight, once with Dennis Leary, once with David Boreanaz, once with Chad Smith, and once with my dad. The last year that they had the Super Skate, I said, I'll come play it. But the caveat is my dad has to play, and he has to be on the other team. And they're like, okay. So I kind of skated down the ice and I kind of bumped into my dad. I'm like, okay, let's go. So we dropped our gloves and I told him to wait. I was like, calm the spot. Like, okay, hold on. When I'll swing at you, you move back, you swing at me, hit me, I'll fall down, you jump on top of me. So, you know, we line up and I swing at him and he moves and he hits me and I fall down and he jumps on top of me and he starts just beating the crap out of me. He's just like pounding me in the face. I'm like, it's a work, dad. It's a work. I don't know if he was mad at me because I scratched the car when I was 16 or whatever it was, but he got his revenge. Then he won the most valuable player of the game. I was so mad. Typical Ted Irvin, amazing NHL player, making me so mad. I should have won VIP. I should have won the best player of the game. I should have won the MVP. I remember having lots of other great moments there. Another classic is I had a cage match with John Cena in December of 2008 that at the time was the highest grossing Madison Square Garden show ever. And I'll never forget Howard Finkel telling me it was the best cage match he'd ever seen. And Howard Finkel was there for the famous Snooki Morocco cage match. I mean, we really tore the house down that night. You know, Cena and I had really good chemistry, and it was a lot of fun to be in there with him. I also remember seeing Metallica at the Garden. Myself, Mike Portnoy, and Eddie Trunk, we got to watch the show from the side of the stage. Lars brought us in, took us on the side of the stage, and Lars's dressing room, where he was having a bunch of people in there as kind of a pre-show party, was the same dressing room where Vince McMahon used to have his office. And I remember I kind of walked in, I saw Lars in the corner, and I walked out. I didn't want to bother him. He's like, "Chris, come back, come back. Where are you going? Come back and hang out for a while." And I was like, "Man, I mean, this is, I've had the two sides of the coin in this dressing room. I had, you know, Vince McMahon's office where I get yelled at and in trouble, and then hanging out with Lars and watching Metallica from side stage." Yeah, and then, you know, like I said, just so many, many cool memories. The Garden is one of the greatest places you can be in. You up your game because you're in the Garden, you know. I remember my first appearance in the Garden, though. Actually, it wasn't at the Royal Rumble. It was right before when I came back in August of 99. And I went to the ring, and in classic Jericho curse tradition, my mic went out. So I was like, "Welcome to Madison Square, Jericho, and I am the the mic just went out, and I threw it on the ground. They gave me another mic, and that one went out as well. And it was just a travesty of justice, you know, typical first time somewhere. I used to call it the Jericho curse, and the Jericho curse lived again because my mic just went out and just totally sucked the air out of the whole performance, and it was not a very good debut in the Garden. But they used to say that if you could get over in the Garden, you would get over anywhere, and that Vince McMahon Jr. and Sr. used to kind of gauge the state of the promotion and the state of your push on how you got over at the Garden. And if that's the case, then I should still be getting a good push, because the other day at the Garden, I got a tremendous ovation from the Madison Square Garden faithful and so many Jerichoholics in New York City. And always a pleasure to go to the Garden. And now my next mission is for Fozzy to play in Madison Square Garden, and we shall do so one day. I guarantee it. So thank you, New York City. Thank you, Madison Square Garden. Looking forward to coming back very, very soon. Also looking forward to Steel Panther coming up very, very soon.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Talk is Jericho.
We are here with the actual Steel Panther arguing. Dude. Over who's turning the knobs down.
Well, you know, when you get a drummer turning knobs, it's like, dude, really? Just yeah. Hold a stick and make it
every
beat.
Drummer thinks they're like the musician in the band, right?
Oh, dude, this guy is like, oh, dude, you need some more 4K in your vocals. I'm like, dude.
No, you know what? That's not true. And I know it's not true because I don't care about your vocal tone.
We are here with Michael Starr and Stick Zidinya from Steel Panther, and it's great to have you guys live in the studio, man. Yeah. I can't believe it.
It's an honor to be here. We were stoked we were coming down.
There was like a flock of chicks outside trying to get in here, and we had to close the door like, no, you're not allowed in.
I know.
This is our time.
It was nice to have you as our bouncer.
It was, yeah, well, exactly. I do all things here. I wear all the hats.
Yeah.
You know, I do the show, I bounce, I sweep up the floors, whatever needs to be done. Polish your shoes.
Dude,
polish your helmet, whatever. Did I just break the rule?
You know,
dude,
you know it.
You polishing shoes, you can't close a deal with a dirty heel. You know that?
Dude, did you just say that?
It sounds like you've been working on that for a while.
He's been waiting 4 years to say that.
He has been.
I heard that at the airport. Somebody was like, "Hey, Michael, cool." He goes, "Man, you can't close a deal with a dirty heel. You want your shoes shine?" I'm like, "Yeah."
You're like, "These are Converse, bro."
Doesn't matter, man.
How would that be, being a shoe shine guy at the airport? I mean, that seems like kind of a tough gig, you know? But those guys are working it.
They're hustling.
They are hustling.
Well, it's like a band or a wrestler. You know, you just got to do what you got to do.
That's right. Get out there. Get people in. Yeah. Get butts in the seats, literally.
That's right.
So we can polish the shoes. I wanted to ask you, I mean, we've known each other for a while, Stix. What is your ethnic background with the Zidinya? Is that Slavic?
It's Hungarian, Turkish, English is what it is. It's a triple threat.
So you're a third Hungarian, a third Turkish, and a third English?
I'm well Hungarian. I'm quite Turkish, and I'm half English. It's pretty awesome.
It's a good connection.
You guys are here after playing last night at the House of Blues, kind of a homecoming, because you don't really play a lot at the House of Blues down in Sunset. You had a residency there for years, but now it's just special shows.
Yeah, we were on tour for 9 weeks in Europe, in the UK, and we came back to do what we called the threesome, which is just 3 weeks in a row. And, you know, now we're an international touring entity, and it's, you know, we're just taking over the globe. So to come home and do a weekly show, it was kind of nice. But, you know, I'm looking forward to going out and doing some more domination.
Yeah, world domination is definitely our goal, is to be the biggest heavy metal band ever.
Isn't it weird, though, how the band has exploded over the last couple of years? I mean, you really are kind of on a, you know, like the snowball is going down and it's just rolling, rolling, rolling. And all you guys are doing is the exact same thing you've been doing since you started, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
15 years ago?
20.
I mean, what is it about Steel Panther that is making this such a worldwide phenomenon? Because I saw it. We toured together in Australia. It was packed over there, packed in Europe and the UK, 9 weeks. It's packed last night everywhere you go.
I think it's because we keep doing the same thing and we have not changed our project. I mean, we have played heavy metal since the conception of Steel Panther.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, through Nirvana, through Pearl Jam, through the Goo Goo Dolls, through Papa Roach. We just kept going forward playing heavy metal, dude.
Dude, we played heavy metal right through Lilith Fair, bro.
Oh,
dude,
wow.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Right, wow. Straight through it, man.
Now, the Lilith Fair crowd might not like you guys much because they're mostly lesbians, aren't they?
You know what? Yeah, they are mostly lesbians, but I think that we have a big lesbian fan base.
Really?
Yeah.
And we also have a big pretend lesbian fan base.
Oh, like they're acting that way?
Yeah, just to attract you.
Well, we have a big hot chick fan base. We also have an ugly chick fan base too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
which is good.
Which you need it. You need
you
all
gotta
of them.
Have it.
And so it's like fishing, you know? It's like we have all the chicks, and so the lesbians are like, "Oh, if we like Steel Panther, then we're going to be able to get chicks."
Right. right. And there you go. It's right. They come to the Steel Panther shows just to meet other chicks.
Exactly. Yeah. It's why any dude goes to any show.
It's like a meat market, right? A reverse meat market.
That's why anybody goes out. That's the only reason I wake up in the morning.
But I mean, your new record, All You Can Eat, just came out a little while ago. And like number 24 on the charts.
Dude.
Like
what is number two in Australia. I mean,
you know who beat us out in Australia?
Who?
INXS.
What?
They did a greatest hits reissue and we got booted from number one. I'm serious. I'm like, really, INXS? You had to put out another greatest hits record? Thanks.
Who is INXS anyways?
It's this band. It's some dudes.
A band from the 80s.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy, man. And you know, we're number 13 in the UK.
No, 12, dude.
Number 12.
Oh, it went up. It went up one.
Wow. Yeah, just amazing. Now. No, we were number 12, UK. We charted in Austria, Finland, Sweden, Norway, Germany, we were number 15. We charted in France. Like, we charted in so many countries.
Literally a worldwide phenomenon at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing.
It's because I mean, your show is so much fun, too. I mean, it's something that kind of the whole music business went through. You mentioned Nirvana and all these bands, and it kind of went through a time when you're staring at your shoes. It wasn't cool to have fun at a rock show. And you guys have literally brought that back. I mean, obviously, there's the 80s element that's there, but it's just a fun show no matter what element you want to talk about or what decade. It's fun to go to a Steel Panther gig.
God, I remember back in the day when Nirvana came out, if you liked metal,
yeah,
we got made fun of.
Right.
It was like, oh, what's up, Bon Jovi? Hey, blah, blah. Right? And look at us now, dude.
I know. And like you said, you never stopped.
You know, you know how Kurt Cobain, it's 20-year anniversary of his death or whatever? Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, man, it's sad that he died and he killed himself. It is sad, but I truly wish he was alive just to see how much ass Steel Panther's kicking on grunge right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? It's our shows are really interactive, and I think that's what people are finding. You know, they're like, oh, if I go to a Steel Panther show, I'm going to have an experience. I'm not just going to watch a band play some songs and then split, but I'm going to go have the best night of my life because I may end up on stage with my shirt off or I may meet
guy or girl
or I may meet a lesbian and go home and listen to
a fake lesbian
Liz Phair records.
Liz Phair.
It happens, man.
But I mean, how did you guys start honing your act? I mean, you got it down to a science now. I mean, obviously you got the girls on stage, they're dancing. I thought it was just for one song, but last night they were there for half the set.
That's the cool thing about our show. It's always evolving. You never know. There could be girls on stage from the beginning of the show to the end, or there could be girls there for just two songs or none.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just depends.
How do you decide that?
Depends on the girls.
Yeah.
It honestly, it's a spur of the moment decision. You know, somebody in the band will go, hey, you know, will notice something in the crowd, and sometimes I'll get, you know, I have a microphone in Michael's ears. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, dude, check out the
stage
chicken
left.
Right in front of Satchel. She's got the party hat on and the Where's Waldo shirt. You got to check it out.
You know, sometimes, though, when we're doing a bigger show, bigger tours, we set up a specific song because we need actual help to get the girls over the barrier.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because it's not like, you know, we're playing these small clubs. We're playing places that have the barrier and then, ooh.
Right, you did Brixton Academy, for example, in London. That's a 5,000-seater.
Yeah,
that's almost
so
an arena.
You need guys, you know, the bouncers. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we let the bouncers pick out their favorite chicks, which is pretty cool because we got a well-diverse amount kind of girls on stage.
Sure.
You know, so it's fun, dude.
So you just kind of go with the flow. But another thing I like, too, is, I mean, when I first started seeing you guys, when you were doing a lot of cover songs, you had a lot of banter in between the shows. But now, you still have it, but you basically do a couple tunes, you kick it off, two or three songs, and then you got your introduction of all the guys. And it's about a 10-minute, 15-minute long bit, but it's super funny. Like, it's really entertaining. So you guys are almost stand-up comedians up there as well.
Well, you know, I mean, the one
thing... We've been called worse.
The one thing that I think that... has enabled us to do what we do and do it as well as we do it without sounding really arrogant and egotistical.
like you just did.
No, but the fact is we have done so many shows throughout the 20 years that we've been doing this. Dude, we played 5 nights a week, mm-hmm. like for years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for
and
12 years.
That's stuff you cannot, like, you can't fake that. And I think there's a lot of bands out there, they'll write a record and then they'll go tour. And then they'll be like, oh, we're going to play live. How do we do this? For us, we're workers. I mean, we go out, we've grinded for, you know, years and years and years. And I think that's what, you know, after you do it so many times, it's like you, I'm sure, with wrestling. After you do it for so many years, you get really good at your job.
Comes second nature.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about it anymore. You just do it.
It's like going to the bathroom. You just know. Yeah.
Riding a bike.
Yeah. You know you got to pee or you got
to
poop.
It's like riding a bike to the bathroom.
Right. Or going to the bathroom while you're riding a bike.
Yeah. Which is...
Now that...
That's a skill that you need to practice.
That's a stage show for you guys.
Yeah. And I got some trivia for you.
What?
How many number one records in the comedy charts does Steel Panther have?
I don't know.
3.
Really?
Yes. Number one.
Wow.
No heavy metal band has ever done that.
And?
Ever.
Number 4 in the rock charts.
What's up?
See, that's the appeal goes beyond. If you like metal, cool. If you like, you know, to laugh. Because, I mean, even your lyrics, they're like gangbang at the old folks' home from All You Can Eat. It's a great tune. I mean, the harmonies on it are amazing. The riff is great. Your singing is great. But the lyrics
But when you talk about a gangbang at old folks' home... That's kind
of
funny.
Well, when you read the lyrics of it, it's completely hilarious.
It's like, oh my God.
You know, she fell to the floor, and 3 seconds later, I broke out the defibrillator.
Yeah. Right. Who's used that in a song?
Well, exactly. That's not exactly, you know, a satisfaction guaranteed, I'll give you all you need type stuff. Defibrillator and later has never been rhymed ever.
Well, that's what we do.
That's what you bring.
We don't
say fire and desire. You know?
That's right. So, I mean, you guys just mentioned that you're toured for 9 weeks. Over in the UK and Europe.
Now, you know, there's we also did some press too as well.
Okay, so you
were... We did a few about a week of press, you know, collectively on the front end and the back end of the tour too as well.
So you're 10 weeks basically over there.
Yeah, pretty much.
So how does your show transfer to, you mentioned, Finland or France or places where English is not the number one language?
It's amazing. You would think that there would be a language barrier.
Yeah.
But on the contrary, it's completely the opposite. Everybody understands dirty words. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Satchel will take lessons from Styx because he knows like 20 languages.
Yeah, 19. But
19 languages, yeah. Okay.
And so,
thanks for hooking me up with the extra language.
You're welcome, man.
That's good, man.
And, you know, he'll have Satchel write down like some, you know, really potent quotes or...
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, what? It's important to be... you know, sensitive to what's going on in the country that you're playing
mm-hmm.
in, you know? So like when we go to France, Satchel will do some research. And if I know the language, then I'll help, but we'll go to some of the local crew and be like, how do you say, I want to get on your naked body?
Right.
You know, but this is a family show and he would get gnarlier than that.
Of course.
You know,
but for the example, yes.
Yeah. And people love it, man. Especially like we're in Norway and you start speaking German.
That gets weird.
It gets really confusing.
So you know 19 languages? Can you name them?
No. Not,
I like can't. English, right?
No, I know his.
Okay, what is he
English?
Know?
He knows Dutch.
Okay.
Finnish.
Uh-huh.
He knows Spanish.
German. Spanish.
German. Russian. A little bit of Russian.
Tiny bit of Russian.
Lithuanian.
Lithuanian. I know.
Zimbabwean.
No, I don't know that. I know Kenyan.
Okay, Kenyan.
Mm-hmm.
Farsis.
Yep.
Farsis.
I know Hebrew.
Okay.
I know Belgian.
Uh-huh.
He can also speak Canadian.
Mm-hmm. That is a certain language, too. You got to really understand that, eh? Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah.
You got that one down. Okay, so that's 11. You got 8 more to go, eh?
Hey, he can also speak Australian.
I can.
That's
11, right. 12.
Then there's Northern Australian and Southern Australian.
Yeah, and then there's...
How about like Orient, you know, like a,
yeah,
like
I know
Asian?
I know Korean, I uh-huh. know Taiwanese,
okay.
I know Japanese, I know Chinese, right. I know...
I told you you knew 20.
I know, man. Know for those counting at home, I think you just hit maybe 20 or 21.
I think I hit 20 languages. That's 20 in Spanish.
Oh, man. I thought 20 was a large coffee. What up?
Hello. See, you can only find this type of information here on Talk is Jericho. How did you guys find the food over there for so long, for 10 weeks? I mean, it gets pretty tough.
I'll tell you,
tough.
Chris, I want to thank you. When we were on tour in Australia,
yeah.
I was like bummed out. Like, I was just having trouble dropping this extra 10 pounds. And I went into the dressing room, Sticks, and Jericho had a plate of grilled chicken
mm-hmm.
just sitting there. Chris. And I go in ours, and there's like pizza, cookies and chocolate,
lunch meat,
right?
That's why he's like, so fit.
And he goes, "You know what, dude? Just go tell the promoter you want grilled chicken or grilled steak and steamed broccoli after the show." And I did that.
You never thought of that?
15 pounds, bro.
Dude, I mean, you guys are headlining these big places. Dude, you can ask for whatever you want.
I'm telling you, and now the level of girls that I'm getting with this extra weight loss, it's amazing.
Now they're fives.
You put two of them together and it's a 10, though, so that works.
That's true.
Because it's called a double team win.
You're the lead singer. You've always been sexy, but now you even debuted some new pants last night, red pants.
I could never wear color pants before.
Ever.
You know.
And now, see what happens.
Yeah, dude. So the food is great wherever we go.
Yeah.
It really is.
I don't know, man.
What?
I hate to be the bummer.
Uh-oh, here we go.
We were in Toulouse, France. And aside from, I mean, the food was cool, but there for the bacon, there was an actual hoofed leg from I think it was a pig. It was a smoked entire leg just sitting there, and you had to take a fillet knife and fillet your own bacon off of the leg.
And it was cooked, at least.
It was smoked, so it was looked kind of raw.
Yeah, it was.
It was freaky, dude. It was freaky.
Oh, man.
I tried it. It was just really salty. It kind of tastes like beef jerky.
And it kind of melted in your mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But see, that's the European, like we were talking about this earlier, like a European breakfast will be like, here's a piece of thick bread,
mm-hmm.
some jam, and some cheese, and some beans.
And a mushroom.
And a mushroom.
It's a black mushroom.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, dude. It got a little dicey sometimes. But you know what I found out about myself is that if you're in Europe long enough, you start eating weird food.
Yeah, exactly. When in Rome.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah,
literally.
When in Rome, you eat Roman food.
But there really is a lot of great food to experience out there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But if you're traveling and you want some advice from Steel Panther and Chris Jericho, mm-hmm. and we talked about this earlier, when you order breakfast, you have to be careful, especially in the UK, because they'll mix it with milk and butter and salt.
Like eggs or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so you order your eggs poached
mm-hmm.
with brown toast. That will give you the cleanest breakfast. With a glass of orange juice.
See, look at this nutritional.
Huh?
When did you become a commercial for breakfast?
You guys should have seen his face when he said that. He was super serious too.
That'll give you the recipe for the cleanest breakfast possible.
Come to the UK, 10 pounds light. Let's go.
So, what countries did you check out? Like, which are the bigger ones for you? England is a big one.
England is huge for us.
That's the UK, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Germany.
Part of the UK.
Yeah, actually, the entire UK. Germany is huge for us. We hit a lot of cities in Germany.
Don't forget about Norway. Very big.
It kind of
really?
Sounded like Jakob Smirnoff.
You sound like you're from the Middle East right now.
Very big for us. This is a very good country for Steel Panther.
Okay.
You know
now
what?
You've gone total German-Russian there.
Scandinavia is... I mean, for us, people ask, you know, hey, what's your favorite country to play? And once you get inside the venue of a Steel Panther show,
mm-hmm.
it's the same country because everybody's there to get really weird and party.
You go crazy, right?
Yeah, I'm not. It's like the same party in every country. We went to Spain for the first time. We were in Barcelona and Madrid.
Oh.
Off the Richter scale.
Let me tell you
something. As far as reactions?
Dude. Yeah, dude.
Barcelona, We took a walk on the beach, man.
Holy moly.
Wow, dude.
Chicks.
It was just killer.
Unbelievable, right?
I mean, and I'm not exaggerating. These chicks are beautiful, man.
Yeah. Beautiful. I was in, we had a show in Nice a while ago, and I went to Nice, France, and I went to the nude beach, and I was thinking, oh, this is going to be great. Like, right. French nude chicks.
Yeah.
They're all old people, and they all had, like, huge bushes and, like, just flab and hanging pieces everywhere. And I was like, this is the nude beach? Like, no way.
Yeah.
No. So you're saying in Spain it was much better?
Spain.
It wasn't a nude beach. Okay. It was just a regular beach.
Yeah.
It was a regular beach with sweet chicks on it.
And we had, like, you know, we had dinner and breakfast and lunch because we just hung out on the beach because
for the
that's what you do when you have a day off.
Yeah.
You know what
it
I
was,
mean?
It was all you can eat. See what I did there?
Yeah.
I know what you did.
You know what? The Spanish chicks and the Italian chicks, they're so good.
Dude, how about the Stuttgart chicks, man?
Those German chicks are nutty.
What do they do? Stuttgart, that actual city, crazy chicks?
Yeah, man. I met this one girl there. She's a school teacher.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing better than meeting a school teacher because they know how to deal with little kids, so they know how to deal with my personality. And it's easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right, right.
And they're not that smart if they're doing elementary, so I can outsmart them. You know what I mean?
It's perfect, right. You know, and like, you know, if you know, like, additional math problems.
Yeah, so I'll say, like, oh, you know, I'm struggling with some reading. You want to come on the bus and help me? And, you know, I'll get her on a bus and we'll talk about reading and stuff like that.
Is that your move?
It works,
dude. That's a killer move,
it
dude.
It works. You're laughing now.
I want
dude.
You to, maybe we could talk about reading.
Reading. Yeah. Not even a certain book, just reading in general. Street signs.
Yeah. What is this? The letters in an order? I can't make it out.
Yeah. And how do you numerically order stuff? You know?
See, in rock and roll, that is probably the best pickup line ever. I'm the lead singer of Steel Panther. Let's talk about reading.
Can you help me with reading?
You got, hey, you know what? You know, you guys are laughing at me right now, but I was pulling down the hottest trim
see
on
there,
tour.
Well, see there, that's
were
smart.
You?
Yeah, I was.
I guess you were, huh?
Who were you boning?
Nobody.
That's what I'm talking
just
about.
Just my right hand.
Yeah. Well, but at least you knew how to read, though.
Yeah, so I can read.
Yeah. So let's talk about the transition from you guys over the years from doing a lot of covers to now it's all original stuff. Your songs are great. Like we said, catchy, funny, great riffs.
It was scary.
Was it weird?
Yeah, it was really
because you still
scary.
Started off, I mean, a lot like Fozzy did, playing covers.
We had training wheels.
Right. I can tell you a story about the first time that I remember it. It switched because we used to do covers.
Yes.
And then we started putting original songs in, and we were at the Commodore Ballroom.
In Vancouver. I remember, yeah.
And I remember, you know, when we would go up and do those shows, we were in this really weird transitional period where we didn't know if the venue or the promoter wanted us to come up and do covers or originals because it's never really specified because most bands just go do their things.
Right.
I don't know if you remember this.
Oh, I remember.
We ended up doing the set list was
nice.
Excuse me.
Four songs, and then we decided to do Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer.
Yeah.
Oh, we did our four songs, killer reaction, all those Canadians are going nuts, right? Then we started into Living on a Prayer, and I remember the vibe in the room just went shut down, and I was so uncomfortable because all these people had come to hear Steel Panther songs, and I was like, this is the moment. Mm-hmm. This is it. And that was when I realized, okay, we've turned the corner.
Right, yeah, people are coming to see and hear you guys now.
Yeah, they want to hear those songs. And the songs that we'd written, they'd become their songs.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start playing other band songs,
they're like, what?
They're like, this isn't what we signed up for, man.
Right.
It was exciting to have that happen.
No, and what made you guys decide, like, okay, we want to start doing our own stuff?
It started a long time ago. Mm-hmm. We started demoing up tunes like in 2002, and... But prior to that, Satchel and I were writing songs together back in 84.
Wow.
Yeah. And Death All But Metal, that riff was actually a song that him and I had wrote together in his mom's house.
Did you guys grow up together?
No. I ran into him at Rock and Roll Ralph's.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we kind of hit it off right away. And,
so 1984, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've known Satchel for, I think it's been 35 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
So that riff was written in 1984, Death to All But Metal.
Yep.
And it sounds just as like cutting edge and cool today as it did back then.
Yeah.
That's a heavy riff. For 84, that's almost like a heavy, like a Metallica
type.
Well,
he was
riff.
Really into like Judas Priest and Iron Maiden and Scorpions.
Okay.
So he like had that edgier, and I was more like David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
Poison. And so
you were more into Poison and Warrant.
Yeah. So the mixture, you know, you put it together It's a great smoothie of rock.
Did they have smoothies back then?
It was just called a blender. It was called a milkshake. I remember at Download a couple years ago when Metallica was headlining, you're like, hey, let's go watch it. So I had a couple passes that Lars gave me. So you and I went to the side of the stage, and Metallica's playing the Black Album in its entirety. And he's asking me, what song is this? What song is that?
Oh,
I'm
like, not
dude,
surprised.
It's the Black Album. He goes, I don't know the Black Album. Which one is it? I'm like, it's their biggest album. It's like sold 15 million copies. He goes, I don't know, dude. I'm a Van Halen guy.
Dude.
Like, what?
You're like, it's the black one. It's yeah. The black one.
What song is this? Enter Sandman. I think I remember that
one. I know
one.
That one.
I know that one.
That's that one.
We are talking to Steel Panther here. We're going to check in with our Sexy Beast sponsors and come back with more Michael and Styx on Talk is Jericho.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
You're listening to Talk is Jericho.
Welcome back to Talk is Jericho here with the amazingly sexy and so entertaining.
Wow!
You do the best David Lee Roth, man.
Oh, thanks, dude.
And you do better than Roth does now.
Oh, awesome.
He threw a couple of
them out
there.
You know, that's my favorite lead singer.
Oh, I really? Well, we talked about that.
Yeah. So classic Van Halen.
Okay, so you're talking about 70s Van Halen. Did you grow up in, are you a California kid? Or would
I was born in Chicago, and I moved to Southern California in 79, Van Halen 2.
So, like, perfect Van Halen time.
Oh, dude, I remember I had Van Halen 2 in an 8-track in my ghetto blaster.
They call it a boombox now. I used the term ghetto blaster the other day, and someone's like, it's called a boombox now.
No, it's a ghetto blaster,
not PC?
Dude.
I'm sorry. Dude, ghetto blaster. Why not, right?
That's what it's called.
Yes, that's what it's called. That's what it should be known as.
Totally.
So, where did you, are you a California kid, Styx?
Well, I'm born and raised right here. I was born at Cedars-Sinai here in L.A., man.
With your Hungarian, Turkish immigrant parents?
Yes.
Came over?
Yep. Fourth generation Hungarian, Turkish, English, and born here in L.A.
So you grew up here. Were you a Van Halen fan as well, or who were your bands?
I was a Van Halen fan. I was a Dio fan.
Okay,
I was into Sabbath. I was into Priest. Awesome. I was into everything, like, just bitchin' metal.
Yeah.
I really was, you know?
But, you know, and that's, it's because so was I. I think we all kind of grew up in the same era. But that's why your band works well, because nobody was doing what you're doing. It became kind of uncool in the 90s and the 2000s to be a rock band playing.
Not to us.
Not to you guys. You never stopped it. But now everybody else caught up with you.
That's right.
And you guys are the only act in town where you can go and be a part of this cool vibe. Like, it's happening now in 2014 the same way it did back in 1984, but people that weren't there will never experience it, but they can experience it now.
Yeah, it's nice to be that band for people. You know, this we're the only band out of LA that's doing this right now.
Basically.
Yeah, but our goal is to get all these younger kids, like in their 11-year-olds and 12-year-olds, to start jamming metal.
Mm-hmm.
Because, man, I don't know about you, but I miss those days, man, when there was like a metal band. There was like 40,000 metal bands.
You know what
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I see a lot is on YouTube, I see people put, like, they'll post picture or videos of themselves covering Steel Panther songs, like on guitar.
Yeah.
Like kids. And I think it's killer because they're actually getting back to playing and trying to rip on guitar.
Well, you know, when Rock Band came out a couple years ago, it was getting scary because kids were forming bands to play Rock Band.
Yeah.
Like, my little nephew had his own band, but all they were doing is put on the plastic guitar, put on the plastic bass, plastic drums, plastic singing. So you're in a band, but playing a video game band.
Yeah.
Like, let's get a real band, go in the garage, start hammering it out like we all did when we were kids. I think that's kind of coming back a bit now.
I think it's awesome. Because,
you know, I think the government is starting to add more garages to public housing.
Just specifically for that
reason. Specifically for music, because the musical education in public schools has there's no funding for
it
anymore.
I've heard that, right.
So they're throwing the money into garages
yeah.
for the houses. So people and the kids have a place to rehearse
music.
It's
a lucrative vocation right now, garage builders, because it's government funded.
I had no idea there was such a booming garage business.
Well, the girl in Stuttgart, we were reading about this, because she's like, well, let's read American News so you can relate.
That's tight.
And that's where I learned about it.
And work on her English.
Yeah. That's tight. Right.
You know, it's like actually in Hollywood where there's not enough room to build garages. They're actually gutting people's houses and just people are just living in a garage now.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. You know, you don't need a kitchen or a living room. Just you need a garage.
You need a hot plate and Kool-Aid, bro.
That's it, man. And a bitchin' band.
Four walls, a ceiling, and some guitars.
And that's all you need. And that's now it's coming back. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was actually reading Paul Stanley's book, which is really good if you guys haven't read it. And he was talking about how they used to pick all these great opening bands to go with them. Like name, like, you know, we're talking about Maiden.
Cheap Trick.
Cheap Trick, Scorpions, I mean, Ted Nugent, you know, all the way up to like Smashing Pumpkins, whatever. But yet now the thing is Kiss and Def Leppard are
right.
touring.
Wow.
You know, it's like, you know, Black Sabbath goes on tour with a DJ. You know, it's always like, you know, Journey and Styx go on tour. Like, there's never like Kiss and Little Junior's Garage Band.
Right.
You know, that's kind of a drag, man, because like, where are the younger bands supposed to play with these big bands to learn as the circle of life goes on? You
well,
know?
That's what we do. We bring on new bands on.
Right. You, like, you brought us out, which
was
awesome.
But you're not new.
Yeah, I know, but you're bringing actually newer bands.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean,
because you guys don't need any help at all. You guys are selling out. You can pick and choose whoever you want.
Still, and we like to pick bands, number one, that are good,
mm-hmm.
and number two, that we like to hang out with.
Right.
And number three, they have hot girlfriends.
Which then you hang out with hot girlfriends.
Exactly. Well, yeah, when you're the headliner, you get to poach the opening
that is
band's
true.
Chicks.
That is totally
Sorry,
true.
Sorry, bro.
And the one thing we teach opening bands, dude, never, ever.
Oh, my God, dude.
Ever. Go to our after show parties with the chicks that we put passes on personally and try to pick up on them.
Dude, cardinal rule, do not poach the headliner's band's
chicks. That will get you kicked off a tour.
Absolutely.
So fast, your head'll
spin. You know how hard it is to like signal to your crew guy, hey, that chick in the front row with the blonde hair, and then you finally get her passed up, and then the lead singer of the other band's over there hitting on her after the show.
Or the guitar player.
Well, it was you know, it was kind of like, I felt like an Indian, like an American-Canadian Indian back in the 1800s. Like for us, when we toured with you, we had a lot of girls, we cultivated them, found them, brought them into our dressing room, and then you guys just came in and stole them all. And there was nothing we could do. It was like Run to the Hills type stuff.
Yeah. You know, I don't,
sorry.
You say steal. And I say
panther.
Harvest.
Right. We're like the bait. Like we were fishing for you. We caught them, and then you got to go and eat them.
It's the law of nature.
Yeah, it's the law of the jungle. See, you're right. See, I'm learning. Like, you know, you always want to learn from the bands that are bigger than you.
You ever see the movie Ants?
Yeah.
Okay, just imagine we're the grasshoppers and you're the ants.
You're the ants, yeah. And there's nothing, and you know, we learned that.
Yeah.
So now we do that with other bands that open for us.
You do that too?
Yeah. Well, now, we learned it from you guys.
Woo! Chris Jericho is a grasshopper.
Yeah. I'm learning. Yeah, I'm a young grasshopper.
You are young. Oh, yes,
keep
young
learning,
grasshopper.
This is awesome. You're teaching me diet and we're grasshopping.
See?
This is
it's killing. Reciprocal. Came back. So we're talking about the early days of Steel Panther, or when you and Satchel met up, wrote some tunes. Did you go your own separate ways and then kind of meet up again 10 years later?
Yeah, yeah. He went and played with a bunch of other bands. I went and started another band.
I played with him.
What band were you guys in at the time?
We were in a band called The Ducks for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a little bit of steam. Yeah,
yeah we had a little steam in a couple little clubs around our house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
your fans are called Waddlers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yep.
Duck Waddlers.
They all have web feet.
Yeah.
It was weird.
it was very selective demographic.
Uh-huh. There was like six of them, and they came from all around the world, but it was awesome.
Diehards, man. Diehards. How about you, Michael?
Oh, my God, dude. Well, you know, man, when Nirvana came out, mm-hmm. and Satch and I got the big fight about it, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna go play Van Halen. So I played Van Halen in clubs for a long time, and then Satchel finally joined me. We started playing Van Halen, and then we started Steel Panther back up again.
So you were doing like a Van Halen, like a tribute band sort of thing?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it tribute. It was more like an original expression of Van Halen,
which is tribute.
Well, I don't like to. That word is really trite.
Okay, how about this?
What?
You just used the word trite. That's good, man. You must learn that from the teacher.
Yeah, from Stuttgart. Dude, you know what? If you don't want to call it a tribute, I would a copycat.
Homage.
Homage?
Homage?
It's type of,
reinterpretation.
Like, it's a reinterpretation of...
Of classic Van Halen.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Okay.
And
so
it's cool. And we played all over. And as a matter of fact, once I left and went with Steel Panther, I realized that Van Halen and doing that and the Ducks and Web Feet all together really just propelled us into this charging snowball that you were describing earlier. And we're going down this Arctic mountain and we're gathering all these fans as we're going, and the balls are getting bigger and That's amazing, dude. It's just
by the
so
time
fun.
You get down to the bottom of the hill, the ball is huge. It's just giant balls at the bottom of the mountain.
Well, they formed two balls at the end, and we ran
How
into a tree.
How apropos is that, right? Cooler.
That's amazing. That's a great tale.
So, but did you start Steel Panther? Or did you come into Steel Panther?
It was my idea.
Okay, you had this idea, Steel Panther, and you had Satchel
well,
with you.
We were going around with the name Steel Panda.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was kind of, we talked about this earlier today at another thing we did, but pandas aren't soft and lovely animals, mm-hmm. but they're also very vicious.
They're bears,
they're big,
dude.
Yeah, they're, yeah people they'll forget. Eat you.
Right. Yeah, they will maul you and they will eat you and you'll die.
Well, they actually eat like leaves, but they'll maul you. They'll make you feel bad.
Yeah, they're like, get out of here. Right. I'm eating leaves and I'm a panda.
Right,
you're
right.
human.
And you're dumb.
Yeah.
And you cry.
So, yeah. Forming Steel Panther was my idea. My concept.
So it was Steel Panda. Wait. And then that, you know, there
then
was,
I was like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, the Japanese market and all that sort of
like
thing.
That.
Right.
I'd rather do something cooler.
This was
and
all
a
your...
panther is much more like, rawr.
Yeah.
A panther will eat you.
So you're a singer because you can relate to my ideas.
Absolutely.
You're saying this was all your idea?
The whole well, yeah.
That's weird to me because I remember doing this all together.
Did you?
You guys were there.
So how did you guys meet, though? How did you meet up with... So
I would love to hear this story.
So there's the Michael Starr Satchel Camp.
Okay.
And then you got the Sticks in it.
I was DJing at a strip club for older ladies called Wrinkles.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So I was DJing and these dudes would come in.
Satchel's mom worked there.
Oh, okay. Like on stage, or was she like a...
Yeah, no, she was a dancer.
So it was like a geriatric strip club,
yes.
Where the dancers were elderly.
It was 40 and over. Okay.
Gilfs, they're
but,
gilfs.
Yeah,
yeah but oh, it yeah. was they were still hot.
There was okay, cougars sure. and there was saber tooths. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So
there was gilfs and there was good gilfs, which is
great grandmothers I'd like
yeah.
to F.
Yeah.
Dude, I was DJing. These dudes would come in and I found out that they didn't have a drummer. And I'm like, hey... Dudes, I play drums.
And I was like, dude, your hair looks horrible. So we took him to a salon, uh-huh. and that's where he met Lexi.
That's where Lexi worked.
Oh, really?
He was just a receptionist, though.
Oh, he didn't actually, was actually a
And he doesn't really write that well, so he would just answer phones and look great
with
at the
mirror.
Front desk. Yeah.
So, you know, you talk about like how Lennon met McCartney at the church festival, and like this is kismet. Like, you guys mm-hmm. met at Wrinkles, then went over to the hair studio. Do you remember the name of the studio, the hair studio?
I don't remember it, no. I was
Fantastic
high.
Sam's.
Fantastic Sam's. Okay, well, yeah, that's an economical studio as well.
Well,
so it wasn't snobby.
Back then, we were, you know, just scraping pennies, man.
Of course, man.
It wasn't easy, you know.
You can't pay $30 for a cut and dye job.
No,
you're paying $6.
You can't get a perm for $30. And, you know, I'm spinning records at Wrinkles, and I'm just getting tips. You know, and I'm not making a lot because it's not very crowded at Wrinkles.
Well, I mean, really, not even for elderly gentlemen that would come in. I guess they might want the younger girls.
You would think, but the elderly gentlemen were at Crazy Girls and the Body Shop. And Wrinkles, actually, it went under. So
that's weird.
Yeah. Doesn't exist anymore?
No, but you know what? I'm thinking about kicking it off again because it was...
You should take that to Vegas. Yeah. I think it could work. Or Branson, Missouri. You could work there.
Dude, I think Branson or Vegas, same thing.
Maybe do a Western and an Eastern, like the Fillmore East, Fillmore West... Wrinkles West, Wrinkles East.
Yeah. Maybe the Western one, we could all wear cowboy boots.
Wow.
I love cowboy boots.
So do old
and
ladies.
Corn on the cob.
Really?
You love corn on the cob and cowboy boots?
It's stuck between your teeth, though. Before you go singing.
Last night I had corn on the cob Texas style.
Yeah.
Okay, it's mesquite
seasoning,
right? With lime Tabasco sauce.
Oh.
Butter, salt.
Before the show or after?
Before the show,
See,
man.
Now you can order mesquite corn whenever you want it.
Exactly, dude.
You don't have to have pizza. I want mesquite corn.
That's
now,
right.
Go to Stuttgart and order mesquite corn there and see what happens.
Yeah.
You'll find out how much of a rock star you are
from
there.
Behind.
Yeah, Germany, man. They're trippy about sex.
Oh, well, okay. Well, now, and then what way do you mean?
I think they're really open about having sex, and the chicks are very forward, and they're like, hey, I like you. I would like to sleep with you right now.
Yeah. Kind of like the summer of love still exists over there.
Yeah, there's just, and afterwards, they're just like, okay, later. There's none of this.
Out.
Hey, can I get your email? BS. It's like, no. That's all I wanted to do. I'm good.
Get
I'm
your
out.
Email.
Yeah, there's none of that.
Okay.
Hey, how do I get a hold of you later? You don't.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys.
Follow me on Twitter.
I was listening to you, but I noticed you just did your password on your iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
To check the time. So
let's do iPhone. Passwords right now.
Okay.
What is yours?
Well, if I tell you, then I'll have to change it. But mine...
No, come on, because I'm going to tell you mine.
I have two passwords that I use for everything.
I know what they are. I can see it in your face.
I know.
I swear to God. I do.
What are the two?
It's either 2112, 2151, 50. Yeah! Guess what mine is?
2112.
1984.
Oh, my God.
What's yours?
If I give my password out.
Oh, please.
Hey, listen, nobody used these passwords. We just gave you our passwords out. So don't use them.
Nobody.
And don't steal any of our stuff.
No. What's your password on your iPhone?
It's the word down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's depressing.
Because whenever I look at my phone, I look down.
Oh.
Wow.
Hmm.
Maybe you should.
That's stupidly brilliant.
Thank you.
Or brilliantly stupid.
It is. It's brilliantly brilliant is what it is.
I got this foam thing around my mic, and I just realized that I have a bunch of nose hairs sticking out because it's tickling the nose.
That's awesome.
Isn't that crazy?
And you also still have some corn between your teeth, which we didn't want to tell you. Yeah. So how did you know 2112 or 5150?
You're a rock and roll dude,
yeah,
man.
Dude. That's all there is, right?
That's the code for everybody who loves rock and roll.
Dude, if you want to get some money, just steal somebody's ATM card that's in the metal and just go to the ATM and put in 2112 or 5150.
Yeah.
Whatever you want out.
You know, now we are all going to be victimized by identity theft the moment this goes online.
I know. I'm going to have to change everything.
You have to change it. So you change it to 5112.
Right. Hey, what's your social security number?
559-361-2822.
Cool. 2822.
What's your home address? Dude, I posted
345 Maple Place.
It's the one with the garage being built by the government next door. Call back. I actually posted my number online on Twitter, but by mistake.
You did?
Yes, I was at a McCartney concert, and a friend of mine was there, and I was like, "Dude, call me." Like,
Alex, you know, McCartney?
Yeah,
the guitarist.
Yeah, you know, the younger brother.
Yes.
Not quite as known,
right?
Not quite as good, but I just feel bad for him. Like, you know, I want to, you know,
I get it.
Why did one brother get all the talent, and Alex, poor Alex, you know,
yeah,
working at Wrinkles, you know, cleaning toilets.
Hello,
not cool.
That's why I brought him up.
Right, right. So I posted, like, just I DM'd the dude, like, "Hey, dude, just call me." But instead of DMing him, I accidentally Twittered
it. I hear you, dude.
So I start getting these calls. And calls and calls. And I'm watching Alex McCartney sludge through some really bad songs that he knows, barely. And it just kept calling. What's going on here? And then text.
Oh, my God.
And finally, a friend of mine goes, "Dude, you posted your number online." This is 10 minutes later. I'm like, ah. So I just, like, I erased it, but I didn't mention it. I had 500 calls and 500 texts. It must be the max you can have on your phone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It was cool, right? But the thing is, I didn't have to change my number because people just forgot. So
really,
yeah. So you can say,
"Don't worry, I'll put it back up for you."
Yeah, we can, now that they'll know our phone number, our address, our passwords,
socials,
yeah, everything.
That really is amazing.
Because, you know, Twitter goes so fast, right?
Wow. You know what? Before I change my, I usually change my phone number after every tour.
Oh, really?
Really?
Oh,
wow.
What's
what?
The matter with
grasshopper?
You?
Sorry.
Call back.
Jericho, you idiot.
Why is that, Mr. What? Star? Why do you have to change your number?
Wait, why do you change your number?
Do you have too many friends?
No.
So, yeah, I'm going to put mine out right before I change it.
There you go. And then fool everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if I'd get 500 calls. You know what we should do? Each band member should post, tweet their phone number and see who gets the most calls.
That's a fun competition.
It'd be killer.
You're going to get the most calls.
You don't know that.
You know what? I just said that to make you feel good.
But wouldn't that be fun? It's like putting out t-shirts with just one guy's face on it.
That would be cool.
Yeah. This portion of the merch line is not doing so well. The bass player and the drummer. We're going to get rid of those
lines.
Don't
sell yourself so short, dude.
You guys should do that. Each guy has his own like Kiss. Like, each guy's his own solo.
No, I think
solo
it'd be
shirt.
I think it'd
and
be
at
great.
The end of the night, compare numbers and just make one guy feel like crap.
Yeah.
That is pretty awesome, because I bet you in different territories there'd be a different dude.
Right, always. But Lexi would probably always be the last.
No, he would. You'd
I don't
be,
know,
oh my
man.
God, Chris, we got to talk about this.
Let's talk about Lexi.
Lexi Fox has so many fans. When we introduce him in Europe.
Oh my! It's
Lexi.
Really?
Lexi.
You have no idea, dude.
It's insane.
And why? Just
I think people like to root for mentally challenged people.
Mm, yeah.
It's normal.
And the hair, the swooping hair is.
He's
the best.
A beautiful man, and I just think for whatever
you
reason,
feel bad
man,
for him.
He's kind of dumb though, right?
But like,
he doesn't know a lot of words.
He's stupidly brilliant. For real,
you know
he
what?
Is.
He is not dumb. He's just. not that smart.
Mm, okay. There's a difference. Yeah, yeah, for sure, man. I know.
Have you ever heard? You know what a savant is, right?
Right.
He's kind of like a savant.
He's kind of an idiot savant, is what you use.
A little
Hold
bit.
On. I don't know what a savant is.
Exactly.
So
it's a painter, a yeah. famous painter from France.
Yeah,
you've so he's a painter.
Yeah,
Ricardo Savant.
Yeah,
you might he's have a French him. Impressionist.
He was a
he does
Mexican
Halen?
French, apparently. Ricardo Savant.
Yeah,
you guys are taking me down a road of uncomfortability.
No, what we're doing, dude, is we're giving you a lot of material. So when you go back to Stuttgart, you can talk to the teacher and find out what's going on.
You can read about it.
So you met.
What's the youngest girl you ever been with?
Well, I can't really say that.
Me?
Yeah, Styx.
After I was 18?
Yes.
18.
Awesome. Next question.
Smart.
So, no, okay. We could talk about Lexi some more because...
Why?
Because...
Talking about me.
It's a real interesting phenomenon. When we go do shows...
Right.
He has this giant contingency of fans who just root from the whole
I
show.
I like how you made contingent... See into two words.
Well, it's
good. No, it's a European thing. You're so European now, man.
Like, you know, I just came different. Back from that tour, man, and it changed the way
so
I speak.
So he's got a big contingent sea, which makes sense because there's literally a sea of fans.
Of contingents.
You're making your point, right? Yeah. Like, there's so many people. It's
you
like an
thought
ocean.
I was stupid and I was being brilliant.
I never said you were stupid.
So Christopher Walken, bro.
The contingent
so
sea.
So tell us about... I mean, you have so many great people that come see your show. It's like the place to be whenever you guys play. Who are some of the most famous people that came? Like Andy Biersack and myself came and hung out with
Dude,
you guys
really,
last night.
Dude, it was really, really nice to see Andy.
He's great, man. It was because a blast.
He is a cool cat.
Very cool guy. And he had fun. And also, too, like we said, 25 years old or so, not completely familiar with Rock You Like a Hurricane. I was watching these like,
And you know what was a total bummer? Is he knows all our songs.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what I thought when you called us on stage. I thought maybe we were going to play like one of your tunes.
Yeah, that's what we should have did, but we reverted to our old ways, man.
Yeah.
You know what? Talking with Andy backstage after the show, it was really cool, man. I'm stoked for him and his band
he's a good dude,
right now.
Very smart recording songs with Bob Rock.
Yeah.
But tell us about some of the other – who's the coolest person that
Cuba Gooding Jr. Yeah, I'm not kidding.
How about kidding. That?
Oscar winner.
Dude.
On stage with you.
Jeremy Renner.
Oscar
wow,
winner.
That's random, okay. Yeah.
How about this?
What?
Aaron Rodgers.
The quarterback.
Carson Palmer.
How about
hold on,
this?
Hold on. Aaron Rodgers, Carson Palmer, and Javon Walker – all in the same show.
Tony Romo.
Big time NFL players. You're a football freak.
Oh, totally, Michael, dude. Yeah. Javon Walker with a bottle of champagne in San Diego.
Did they sing with you?
Oh, boy, just signed with the Raiders. He went off.
Dude, we had... oh, my God.
Yes, he sang.
We had...
very badly.
Okay. You had Meatloaf, I remember, came up there.
Meatloaf, yep.
We had Carlton from Fresh Prince. For real. He got up, and he got in trouble with his lady. Yeah. He came up, and he started doing his dance, and there was a bunch of chicks around him, and he was not allowed to come back to a Steel Panther show.
Who's that teacher?
Mr. Belding.
Mr. Belding.
Yeah. Belding, yeah, he comes all
he
the time.
He comes, oh, yeah.
Billy Ray Cyrus, dude, last week.
Last week?
Yep.
What did he sing?
He came up, did Rebel Yell, Joey Fatone. He gets up all the time. And
Lance.
He tries to sing with us.
Lance Briggs.
Lance Bass. Oh. No, Lance Briggs is the seventh
Football
member.
Player.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Lance Briggs.
Lance Bass.
Oh, Lance Bass. Yeah, he's got him kind of sang gay. What's going on back there?
She's putting her boobs
right up against the glass.
Oh, yeah, you got great
What's
boobs.
What's the sign? Let me see the sign again. It says, Billy Ray Cyrus, what did the football players sing?
Aaron Rodgers sang Don't Stop Believing. Carson Palmer sang She's Only 17.
Okay.
And Javon Walker was too wasted to sing.
And Tony Romo was up with Jessica Simpson at the time, and he sang Sweet Child of Mine, and she tried to sing it too, and she was not good.
She challenged me to sing off.
What?
Yeah. She was actually... horrible.
Wow.
And you know who else was not?
Acid reflux problems or just bad singing?
No, just lack of talent problems.
She's doing good now. She's
suffering from serious lack of talent.
She's doing good now. She got endorsed by Prilosec. So.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But you know what? She's not singing anymore. She's selling clothes and she's probably way
better
at that.
You know she's a billionaire?
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's insane.
What? I think it's great.
Yes, she has a clothing line or something and she's literally at one point was a billionaire. She might still be.
Yeah,
Jessica Simpson.
It's freaky, dude.
So that lack of talent served her
well. You know what?
Damn it.
Does Nick Lachey, is he a millionaire?
No.
He's not, they're not married.
I know, but I mean, just you. I like contests,
dude. We
I think she's doing better than
him.
Oh
yeah, for
sure. We just did.
I wonder if he gets reverse alimony.
He may, because she has a.
She's making all the money.
We just did VH1 Morning Buzz.
Really?
With Nick Lachey. Yeah.
Oh, he's the host now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he sang one of our songs, the second single off our All You Can Eat record, which came out April 1st.
Which is doing great. What's the second single?
Glory it's called Hole? The Burden of Being Wonderful. Oh,
the first one was Party Like Tomorrow's the End of the World.
Yeah, there was a video for Glory Hole, too, which is another amazing tune. Did you guys ever see that picture? I went snowboarding in Park City, Utah.
I saw that.
I sent it to all you guys.
I did see it. It's a run.
Yeah, it's a run. Run called the Glory Hole. And my 10-year-old son, I'm like, Ash, take this picture. He's like, okay. And I'm not telling him. And I said, oh, the Glory Hole, the big giant sign.
That's awesome.
Dad, do you want to go down Glory Hole? I'm like, yes. But if you only knew, my friend.
You're like,
my son.
Yes, I do want to go down the Glory Hole, but I'll talk to you about it later.
Many years from now. So that's the second single's out already, because your first single, Party Like the End of the World, came out back in October.
Yeah.
That was a real, like, advanced single.
Yeah. We really wanted to set this record up as best we could. And
right.
I think we did, because we also went out and did a bunch of shows. We did our whole 9-week tour before the record
came out. Before the record came out, that's right.
You know who directed Party Like Tomorrow's the End of the World was Rob Riggle.
Did you see Stacey just hold up a sign?
No.
She literally just held up a sign that said Rob Riggle.
No way.
She did. She
really?
Did.
So is that why you wrote it down on that paper?
I did. I just wrote Rob Riggle down so I would remember.
What?
I also have caviar written down here, which is a story I was going to tell earlier when we were talking about Germany, about how crazy they are about sex.
Well, go ahead.
You guys know what caviar is, right?
It's
fish eggs.
Well, not in Germany. In Germany, it's when people eat poop. It's called caviar.
It's called caviar?
Yes, and I know this because I went to one of those little I lived in Hamburg for 6 weeks, and there was a Deutschmark into the video, like, you know, watching porno on the video.
Right.
And this guy was like, you got to go in and watch. I'm like, okay, so I watch. And I'm flicking through the channels, and it's like, oh, Duschklackers, that's caviar. I'm like, well, what is this? And then I saw it, and it was like, oh, my gosh. Caviar. If anyone ever asks if you want caviar and you're in Germany, say no.
I will, because I don't like poop.
Hey!
You know what? Ow. They're really comfortable with poop.
Germany. I'm not down. Let's talk about Rob
Riggle. Okay, so let's talk about Rob Riggle, who does not like poop either.
You know, I don't think Rob is a big fan of poop, but he is.
Did he directed the video?
He directed the video.
He also starred in it.
He played the devil.
And he's awesome. Dude, that guy is awesome.
Now, Rob Riggle, he's like one of those guys, you see him in everything, but don't really know his name. A lot of people don't know his name. If you saw Rob Riggle, you know exactly who he is. He's super funny.
He's one of the coolest dudes I've met. From doing this.
But how cool is that? I mean, if you guys haven't seen the video for Party Like It's the End of the World, go watch it on YouTube now. We'll wait. We're waiting. And it's like this amazing video of, like, you guys are in a mansion and it's the last night on earth. And there's like just there's this one crazy, like, gymnast chick who's flipping out and she's doing all these crazy
Lacey
dances.
Rain.
Oh my gosh. Like, how fun is that to do a video for Steel Panther?
It was insane, dude.
Not one person in that video got paid.
Nope.
Not one person.
Being in that video is payment enough.
For everybody who was in that came down, they spent the whole day and hung out and partied.
And you had some names there, too. I mean, you had Steve-O was there and Chuck Liddell.
Chuck Liddell, Ron Jeremy. Joey Fatone.
He's everywhere. He's at the hospital. He's at home in bed.
If it's somewhere near Hollywood and there's chicks there, Ron will be there.
Yeah.
And the cat from Breaking Bad, RJ.
Yeah. RJ Mitty came down.
He threw up in it. Sparks.
You know what? RJ was at an award show. And that's why he was in that suit, because he came down straight from the awards show and we got him on set.
Right on set.
Yeah.
So you got some pretty named guys on this show or on your video just doing it because they want to be part of the scene.
Dude, my dad's in that video.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Your dad must love you.
My dad loves me. He's one of the cops.
Oh, really? That's
for
what
real.
I mean. He must love the fact that his son brings him down to hang out with a bunch of bikini-clad chickies.
Dude, Pops Adenia. Chicky Wicky. Pops Adenia is a big supporter.
You know what? I like your little brother. Squirts it in you.
Thanks.
He's a good kid.
Well, that's a total classic Hungarian name. Traditional Squirts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's S-K-I-R-T-Z and a Q, which is silent.
You
Squirts.
Actually just said Zed. You're so Canadian, dude.
Sticks Zed in you.
Sticks Zed
in you. I like that Sticks Zed in you. Gordy Canuck coming back again.
Are you Canadian, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, God, you didn't know that.
Man, no.
Wasn't obvious enough.
Do you
like Nickelback?
No.
Wow, really?
Just not my thing. Not my
really?
Thing. I mean, Rush, Triumph, all, you know, Kick-Ass.
Yeah, all the Canadian all power trios.
You know, we wrote a song with Chad.
Did you?
Yeah.
Which one?
It's called It Won't Suck Itself.
We went up to his mansion.
co-written with Chad. See, on my little list that I haven't looked at once, it says you co-wrote that with Chad Kroeger. So tell us about It Won't Suck Itself, co-written with Chad Kroeger of Nickelback.
I'll tell you, we went up to his compound in which he has his own gas pumps for his cars on his property. Yeah dude.
Yeah. And wait, hold on. You want to get freaked?
Yeah.
He has a 2-scale hockey rink.
Ice hockey rink in his house, dude.
In his house.
What?
Yeah. And he's got a assistant that rolls his own joints.
Dude.
That's his only job?
We had a bag of weed that...
Can we talk about weed on here?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. It was,
it's going to be legal here anyways, soon.
It was so killer. We went up there and we spent the whole day in a studio and then we took a break and we went and, went and played hockey, put skates on.
And skates it in
you. You skates it in you. And we ended up writing the song, and it was a fun day. He's awesome to hang
That's
out
cool,
with, dude.
That's cool, man. Well, he's a total, like, he's like mid Albertan, like from the prairies, a place called Drumheller, where there's nothing there but dinosaur bones. Seriously.
Really? Wow.
You go there to look at the dinosaur bone museum in Drumheller, and that's where he's from. So he's total small
town
Canadian.
From Yellowknife.
He might. I know he grew up in Drumheller.
Oh, wow, amazing.
So he could be from Yellowknife.
Well,
he drinks straight rubbing alcohol. Is he Eskimo or something?
He might be a little bit. That's crazy. Yeah, Kroeger. I think it's the Kroeger is Eskimoian.
Eskimoian
wild bear.
I know his assistant was taking the rubbing alcohol away from him.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
can't drink that.
It was a great day. It was a great day on the compound of Chaz Kroeger.
Did you just run into him?
No,
well, he reached out to us.
He's been coming to our shows, and he's gotten up and jam. You know what? With Vinnie Paul, we had both of those guys on stage.
Oh, that's a good mix.
Yeah.
If we had Chad on drums and Vinnie Paul singing with his pants off.
Yeah, he
took, I swear to God, in Vegas.
He got so hammered, he actually just dropped his pants, and he's standing there in his boxers. Vinnie Paul.
With his cowboy hat.
Oh, totally.
His shirt open to his waist.
With his little fuzzy chest.
And a bottle of water filled with vodka.
That's my boy.
It was awesome.
He's a good singer, too. We did a thing at the Sin City Sinners. We sang Blinded Texas.
Of course, by Wasp.
Yeah, that's his
big
one.
Jam.
That's his jam, man. Yeah, we sang that together. I was like, how do you know Wasp? Like,
oh,
jam.
Barbecue.
Yeah. You know, as a tribute to Vinnie Paul, on one of our songs, you know, famous Vinnie Paul saying is 1-2 barbecue.
But it's like this, 1-2 barbecue.
Hell yeah.
That's on the All You Can Eat record.
Really? Yeah. Like a bonus track or where
no,
is
no,
it?
No, it's on the top of If I Was a King?
Yeah, no, I think it's
10 Strikes You're Out.
It could be. Yeah, 10 Strikes You're
10
Out.
10 Strikes You're Out.
You know, we did a festival in Florida, and Vinny was on, you know, with Hell Yeah.
Hell Yeah, yeah.
And he, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but he has cookouts.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So he's like, dude, come over and have a burger. He's like, 1-2 barbecue, flip them burgers.
Well, when you go out with him in Vegas, too, like a couple times, you know, stay out all night, go to his house.
He
puts on
bacon.
He cooks bacon. He puts on Bruno, the movie Bruno, at the loudest volume. It's so ear-crushingly loud. And then he goes and makes breakfast, bacon, sausage, and the best scrambled eggs I've had. And in his house, he's got different rooms. He's got the Jimi Hendrix room, painted purple. He's got the Elvis room, the jungle room, which is painted green. And he's got the carrot top room.
Shut down.
Which is painted orange.
Dude,
he loves carrot top.
His pool with the rocks and the lights.
He's got such a rad place, man.
It's crazy. It's like a party palace.
It's funny because I was thinking about texting him as I was driving here.
Oh, well,
just
say hi.
Just say hi because I miss the guy.
He's a great dude.
Tremendously great
guy. Oh, I know why. I was listening to the new Van Halen.
Okay. What do you think of it? Different kind of truth. Isn't it good?
Yeah.
I liked it too. I thought it was the best. You didn't like it. You can say that. Yeah. You can have an opinion.
It's okay. Be a man, dude.
Still, Van Halen's never going to call you to open for them. I don't think.
Wow.
No, it's Cool in the Gang or...
Yeah, exactly. Roth's call. It'd be Cool in the
Gang.
What
is that,
Ziggy
dude?
Marley.
Yeah.
Whatever. So you didn't like the new record?
No, I'm not a fan of the new record.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, classic Van Halen,
I thought it was the best record they could have done in this day and age. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was pretty... It had some good tunes on it.
I think that they set the bar so high for themselves, they'll never be able to reach it.
Yeah. It's better than the Gary Cherone version, though.
You know, it's funny because I listened to Different Kind of Truth, and then I thought... I'll listen to something else by Van Halen.
Mick Jagger's calling. Sorry.
Is that Mick's custom ringtone?
It is.
And sweet. I thought I'll listen to some Gary Cherone Van Halen.
Yeah.
Wow.
Not good, right? The songwriting wasn't great on
that. I just didn't really connect with it. Yeah. I don't want to...
His singing is good, man.
Gary's a great
singer. It's not his fault. He was doing the best he could.
I don't think
he didn't
write those songs.
No, of course not.
And the song, it sounded not very good.
Yeah, the production wasn't good. It was a rough one for them, for sure. But guys, I mean, future coming up. You want to take over the world. I mean, All You Can Eat just came out. You guys got to check it out.
Isn't that weird?
Very catchy.
That you have the same goals as we do. You want to be the biggest band in the world.
That's what you need to have. Yeah. If not, why are you doing this?
You know what? I think that if you don't think that your band should be the biggest band in the world,
that's right.
What's the point?
That's my point. Exactly. Why bother?
I'm with you.
But yeah. You guys are on the way. You got a U.S. tour is coming up this mm-hmm. month or next
yeah,
month?
Yeah, we leave in 2 weeks, dude.
2 weeks. Yeah. And then what's coming up after that?
Gonna miss you till then.
I'm gonna miss you too. You want to come over and hang out with me?
You're gonna miss you too.
It'd be cool.
Yeah, they're coming out.
I miss you too.
I miss you too. Yeah. I miss when you two. It was like Van Halen, man. You two did such good records.
I know. I want them to come. I'm sorry.
That's why I don't sing that stuff.
Because it's too high for you.
You sang on the new Fozzy record. A song
yes,
called Tonight.
I did. It was great.
It was funny because you came up to us on tour. You're like, I want to be in the next Fozzy record. And I said to Rich, we have this tune. I think Mike would be great singing on. And you killed it, man. It was awesome. It was great to have you.
It's really an honor to be a part of your band.
Did you bury him in the mix?
Completely.
No. Good. I heard it.
Yeah, you heard it to sign off on it.
You mixed them just like they did Jason Newsted on Injustice for
right.
All.
Once you signed off on it, it's done. It's done. It's gone.
No, it sounds good. When's it coming out?
Our record comes out in July.
Awesome.
Dude, congratulations, man.
Thanks, man.
I can't wait to hear it.
And I can't wait to download one for free.
Yeah, I did it for all your records. Actually, I bought all your records. All of them.
Really?
After we toured together, I bought all four of them.
So did I.
Thanks, man. That's what you got to do, right?
No, I mean, I bought ours.
Come on, grasshopper.
So you guys got the U.S. What's after that? You going back to Europe?
Yeah, we do U.S. for a month. We come back for a couple weeks, and then we go.
Dude, we're going to see you at Download.
And
the Golden Gods, you guys are hosting.
We're hosting the Golden Gods.
I hosted it 2 years ago. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there presenting
dude,
an award.
We're going to be hanging out a lot.
We are going to be hanging out because we're going to be doing more touring.
Yeah.
We had a blast.
I would love
you guys.
To do another
so
tour
so much
guys.
Fun, man. We went riding our bikes on the beach and just hanging out.
Yeah.
Such a good time.
How fun was that?
That was. We went, Mike and I and Xavier from Buckcherry went on a bike ride all down the beach of Perth for about, I don't know, 20 miles or so. Yeah, 67 miles.
Wait, there's a big discrepancy.
With Big John from Australia came with us. Remember, like our buddy Big John, he's like 250. He's on this bike, and the tires just go straight to the ground.
It was
one of the best days, man.
I tell you, it felt like 20 when I was
done. It did, especially when we were riding back uphill.
But. Yeah, well, you know what? You guys sound like you're spinning, you know, tall tales about 25 miles, and you're saying 5 miles. I don't know who to believe.
It was,
you guys.
I think it was 67 miles is what it was. And we did it, like, in record time, like, in an hour.
And it was all uphill,
We were
just
uphill both ways.
Yeah. All uphill both ways, no pedals and square wheels.
That's right. That's crazy, dude. That's the way they make their bikes in Australia, which is really strange, but it's a little bit counterproductive.
And we got, what did we get? Smoothies.
We did get smoothies, which were called milkshakes back in the 80s.
Yep.
Call back! Dudes, it's been awesome having you here. Great, is that it?
Well,
that's it.
Do you know how long we've been talking for?
No.
Over an hour.
For real?
Yep. Over an hour, man.
Dude.
58 minutes and 17 seconds.
Right, we got to end it. We need a sponsor in here.
We got to put some sponsors in here. We got to make some money for this place. Absolutely. Make some money for all of us. And it's good that you said that because my boss is actually right there. You can see him through the window.
He's so handsome.
He's a good looking guy.
Maybe he'll give us a show. Maybe.
You know what? I think Steel Panther should have their our own show, and we should have Chris Jericho as our first guest.
That would be amazing. If you want Steel Panther to have their own show, tweet at podcast1 and let us know. And tweet me at, what's my thing?
Talk is Jericho.
At Talk is Jericho.
Chris Jericho is awesome.
Wait. I'm scared to say any information now because I gave out so much.
Sorry.
All You Can Eat is the new record. Steel Panther's the band. Styx, Michael Starr. Amazing having you guys.
Dude, thank you so much.
We'll see you over in the UK.
That was fun. That was really gay what you guys just did.
And we missed too, white boy gay stuff. We tried it. I went for the fist bump.
And he went for some sort of flitty
tap.
He kind of
gave my fist a high five or something.
It's like, oh, hi.
Go buy the record now, people! Wow! Thanks to Steel Panther, Sticks It In You, Michael Starr. Michael Starr appearing on the new Fozzy record, as a matter of fact, on a song called Tonight, available July 22nd. Go pre-order it now using my Amazon link. It's really easy to find. Just go to podcast1.com, click on the Keep Our Podcast Free banner at the top of the page, then click on Talk is Jericho. You'll see all three of my Amazon links, USA, UK, and Canada, Every time you do that, Amazon kicks back a little cash to the show so we can keep doing this for you for free for twice a week. No extra fees or hidden charges. You're just getting your shopping done, and you're helping me
out in the process, man. And if you're digging what you hear in Talk is Jericho, hit that subscribe button on iTunes. Leave me a comment on iTunes letting me know what you like, what episodes you like, which episodes you hated, which are none, of course, because every episode of Talk is Jericho is amazing, marvelous. I'll give you a shout out right here on the podcast if you leave a comment on iTunes. Subscribe, leave comment, get shout out. Pretty easy. And tell your friends to subscribe too. Tell your friends about us. So that's it. Stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs. But see you Friday. We got another great combination, Diamond Dallas Page and Jake the Snake Roberts and Chris Jericho, all three of us together in one room talking about the redemption of Jake the Snake Roberts via DDP and his accountability crib. You're not going to want to miss it. Two legitimate WWE, WCW Hall of Famers and me. You're not going to want to miss it. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of Talk is Jericho. See you on Friday. Yeah, boy.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.